Let's take some time and pray this morning. Father God, it is a good reminder for us today. A good reminder for us to recognize and to understand that in this world that we live in, it is all about you. And God, sometimes we don't take that as seriously as we should. Sometimes we just go about the daily things of life and we forget that you are more important than those things. You are more important than our work, more important than the hobbies that we have and the things that we enjoy. You are more important than all of those things. And we want to come back to the heart of worship. We want to come back to understanding that you are more important, you are more valuable, you are worthy of all our praise. And we're reminded that in your word, Psalm 139 tells us, Lord, that you have searched us and you know us. You know when we sit and when we stand and when we move from here to there and you know our thoughts. God, you know us. And that's not the only reason why you're worthy. And that's not the only reason why we recognize that you are more important. You are also creator and sustainer. You are our heavenly Father. And God, I pray that you would put this in us, that it's more than just a song, but it's actually a confession right now, Lord. Forgive us for the times when we make other things more important than our worship of you. Forgive us when we innocently drift off and not focus. Forgive us when we put other things in front of you. God, we do mess up. We get that. We do. And each of us, myself included, have done this in our lives. But God, will you give us the strength and the power and the heart to remember that other things don't compare to you? God, would you do that in us today? Would you burn a passion on our hearts for you in every way? And may we be okay with being different when it comes to our relationship with you. So God, will you work in us today? God, we recognize that you are Lord and Savior. We recognize that you are moving throughout the world that we live in. We recognize that you are moving in our community, and we're grateful for that. Lord, before we close this time of prayer, I just want to just lift up our missionaries for a moment, Lord, and recognize that we have missionaries that we support throughout the world in different spots and different locations, and each of them needs your work in their lives. Whether it's in the team that they're a part of or the people that they're serving or different things that are going on around them, God, will you meet their needs? Will you care for them in ways that are only done by your supernatural hand and divine intervention? God, will you provide safety when it's needed? Will you provide resources when they're needed? God, will you just work so that your kingdom would advance and be established in all different parts of the world. And God, help us to support them in the ways that we can. And prayer is just one of them. So thank you, God, for that. And as we gather together today, as we worship you, may our lives reflect our hearts and our passion for you. And we pray all these things, and everyone says with me, amen. Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. That is amazing. I'm so glad that you're here today. It's great to be with you. We've got a couple of things that we just want to remind you about today. First of all, if you would be so inclined and you want to use the QR code to let us know that you're here today, that would be greatly appreciated. You can scan that with your phone at any point in time. We also have them scattered throughout the building. If you don't feel comfortable breaking out your cell phone and scanning on the QR code really tightly and missing my head, that's fine. You can do that later. But we're just glad that you're here today and excited about what God has in store for us today. A couple of things that are going on. This Wednesday is a big night for us. We have our grab-and-go meals at 6 o'clock. And then so that's for families that are part of youth ministry, our Hope Kids, and then also including our parents as well. So all families are invited to be a part of that. Starts at 6 o'clock, and then at 6:30 is Hope Kids, which is our primary discipleship program for our kids ages 4 to 5th grade, and then we have youth ministry as well, 6th graders up until 12th grade. So we would love it if you guys would be a part of that, and we're glad that you would be. That starts at 6:30, and then we have our parents group that will start at 6:30 as well. And so parents, when you bring your kids for dinner, stick around, eat some food, and then join in the group at 6:30. We're so glad that you would do that. Also, just want to give you, those are the main things that we have going on. Just want to remind you that we have opportunities that if you are interested in helping out with a variety of things here at the church, we would love for you to join with us and volunteer. And if that's something that you want to do, let me know. I would love to get you plugged in, get you connected, helping out with some of our teams and things of that nature. That would be fantastic. You can email me. I do snail mail. I don't do, I like to think that I can do other forms of communication, but those are about it. Maybe text messages and stuff like that. Instead of being silly, we'll just keep on cruising. So other things that you need to know about, if you are interested in tithing and giving to the church, you can do so online, or we have a box in the back that you can deposit your tithes and offerings in. Thank you so much for what you do. As we've been talking about for a number of months, that we were approaching our payoff for our mortgage, and we did that in December, and now we're looking forward to a celebration that will come this spring, and we'll keep you all up to speed on that. But we thought weather better be better for us to celebrate, so that's one of the reasons why we're waiting for a little while, but we'll give you all the details and information. But I don't want to shy away from being grateful and thankful for what you do and helping us to cover our various ministries and taking care of our debt. So thank you so very much. Your board and your leaders continue to just be so, so thankful for what you do. And so thank you for that. So, kids, you're with us today. So if you need a bag that is full of things to help you pay attention today, you can get those bags in the back. They're not busy bags. They're for just you to know what's going on. Get your Bibles out. Let's jump into God's word together today, and we're going to jump into what God has in store for us. Today, I want to just, I want to let you know that today's going to be a practical day. Practical, nuts and bolts type of stuff, but we're also want to just let you know that I listened to a message a number of weeks ago. This is something that I do often. I'm always listening to different people, different teachers, different speakers, leadership lessons and things like that. But I came across a message by David Platt, and I was really encouraged by it. And today you're going to be getting a lot of influence from him in today's message, because it was fantastic, and I think that you're going to be, I think it'll be good for all of us. So Matthew 6:6 says this, "But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." As you can tell, we're talking about prayer today. Getting really simplistic, very honest, very real with what we're talking about. But I want you to catch that what Jesus is saying here is, but when you pray, Jesus is giving you and everyone else an invitation to meet God, to meet with God, the creator of all things, the one who spoke the very world into existence, the one who calls the stars by name, who causes the rains to fall, who created you and 8 million, billion other people and knows you by name, has known every person that whoever was and will be and calls them and knows them. And this is an invitation from Jesus to interact with him, the one who crafted you and formed you, who sustains you and knows you better than you know yourself. Can you imagine that for just a second? That you know yourself well, but God knows you better than you know yourself. The one who is ultimately in control, who is sovereign, who is righteous, who is holy. This is what Jesus is inviting us to do, is to pray and spend time with him. You have an invitation. Now, my question is, what do you have that is so important in your life, in my life, than meeting with God? What do we have going on in our world that is more important than meeting with God? As you're thinking about that, let me give you a little bit of an illustration. You have a really important meeting coming up, okay? You have it is a life-changing meeting. You show up, it's at your favorite place of dinner, and you're excited about it because you really like the food there, okay? You show up, you sit down, you order, you're ready to go, and the person that you are supposed to be meeting with that can change your world, okay, for many different reasons, whatever that reason might be, let's say that it's the person that you are in love with and they are just changing your world because you are so in love with them. Or maybe it's a boss and your boss is going to be changing your world because you're going to get a promotion and you just know it's going to come. But when you sit down and you enjoy this meal, you are distracted by this. You sit down, you start looking, you start studying things, and they're talking to you. Huh? What? Or you blow off the meeting completely because you got distracted. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine you are in an opportunity that can change the trajectory of your life, and you don't even show up mentally to what's going on? So what do you have going on in your life? What do I have that's going on in my life that is more important than meeting with God? Can you imagine how your boss or your spouse or anyone feels when you don't pay attention? Have you ever been on the receiving end of that? Where you're ready to invest and they don't care? The thought here is, when we look at this passage of scripture and it says, when you pray, it's really a normal thing that Jesus is talking about. His expectation is that we would pray. When he's talking to the disciples in this is the Sermon on the Mount, and he has laid out the various teachings that he's laid out, and he continues all the way from chapter 5 and goes all the way into chapter 6, and he is just preaching a message that I could never preach and do any justice to, but he is laying it all out, and he's saying, when you pray, the expectation is that they would be praying. And when we look at Jesus's life, it was a regular occurrence. If you were to map out through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you can find, you can note, and you can see how many times Jesus prays, or how many times Jesus gets alone with God and just spends time with him. I actually did that in one of the Gospels. I took my Bible and I created a little code for myself. And you're getting a window into my soul. This is how nerdy I am sometimes. I was reading the entire Gospel, and every time I saw a thing where Jesus went away and had solitude time with God, I wrote an S and then drew a big circle and highlighted it so that I would recognize that this was one of those moments of solitude where Jesus got away with God. I didn't realize that I was doing this, and it was all over the pages for like 3 or 4 pages. And it was like, wow. Every time Jesus had something big coming up in his life and he performed a miracle, he was getting alone with God before those miracles took place, and it was amazing to see. If Jesus, the Son of God, the Lord of all creation, the Alpha and the Omega, the incarnation of God, needs to spend time alone with God, don't you think that it would be good for us as well? It's when we should be nodding our heads and like, this is important stuff. So when you pray, it's weird for us to think about not praying. But when you pray, set aside some time to meet with God. This is the first basic thing that we're going to be talking about today, okay? In order for us to actually do this, when we follow in with what Jesus is talking about, when you pray, be intentional. Set aside time to meet with God. Anybody creatures of habit in here? Okay. You creature of habit, you know that on a specific time, a specific day, or whatever it might be, you know that you're going to be doing that exact same thing because that's what you always do. It's kind of like in our house right now, Sunday afternoons or Sunday evenings is pizza night, so we eat pizza, and other people have Taco Tuesday. And Taco Tuesday is like the best day of the week because you always eat tacos on Tuesday, right? Taco Tuesday, Tuesday tacos. And that's the way it goes. Or at 4 o'clock every time, you know that at 4 o'clock you should be eating dinner. That's gotten earlier and earlier as you get older, right? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. I say that because my parents are that way now. It used to be 5:30. Now I can't call them at 4:30 because their dinner time is at 4:30 now. And I give them a hard time about it because it's my parents. I can do that. Anyways, when a specific time hits, it's time to eat, right? Noon hits, it's time to eat. Or something else. What might it be? See, when it's a creature of habit, if we don't set a time, if we don't set aside time, it won't happen. I know in my own life, if I don't set aside specific time to exercise, I won't do it because I know that it's hard, right? It's not fun to exercise all the time, but we need to set aside specific time. And what we're talking about here is the issue of intention, being intentional about our prayer time. If we're not intentional, we probably won't do it. For me, it's a morning thing. First thing that I do is get up, go get a cup of coffee, then sit down on the couch, and I'm starting to do my devotions. If that doesn't work for you, that's fine. If the better time for you when you're a little bit more alert and charged up is at 8 o'clock at night, fine, do that. But be intentional. Set aside a time because we know that it works. We know that when we're intentional in this way, we can accomplish these things. So set a time. When you pray, set a time. The next thing that we're going to talk about is this, is close the door. Find a place where you can be alone with God. If it's to go to another room away from everybody else, fine, do that. Some people, Jesus, the way that he talks about it is go into your room, go into your closet and shut the door and be alone. Think about what Daniel did in Daniel chapter 3. I think it's Daniel chapter 3. This is completely off memory, where Daniel goes up into his room and instead of closing the door, he actually opens the window and he's seen by all the magistrates and people of the city, but he went into his room away from others to pray. The idea here is that we are easily distracted people. The issue, the idea, is to be alone with God. This is the time where you get to hear from the one who created you, who knows you, who loves you, and wants to speak to you. We spend an inordinate amount, I can't get words out, we spend a lot of time listening to what other people have to say about us. We spend a lot of time listening to the voices of others in our lives, speaking to us about certain things, about who we are, what we do, what we wear, how we wear it, and all of that. We spend a huge amount of time on social media listening to what others say about the world and about everything that's going on around us. But when we spend this time with Jesus, we are listening, we are hearing from the one who knows us, the one who loves us, and the one in whom we should have our identity based on. No one else, no other thing, no other social media rock star or any of that, but to clearly hear from what God has to say and what he wants to speak into our lives. And how are we going to hear that if we don't take time to be with him? Now, you might be thinking, Pastor Chopper, you're speaking to the choir today. You know that saying? Okay. Some of you might not because we haven't had a choir here ever. Okay. But what I'm talking about is that back in the day, the choir used to sit like this is not in Living Hope, obviously, because we don't have a balcony where people in the choir could sit. But in other churches, way back when, it was the choir that sat in the balcony and behind the preacher, and they would be the ones that were kind of hyping up the preacher and getting everybody going. We don't have that. So you guys get to do that from there. And they're the ones that are agreeing and they're listening. And they're the ones that are kind of like, yes, preacher, preach it. Lucas, I heard that. So, and what also that means, preaching to the choir, is that it's kind of that they're expected, that they're going to be following what's going on. I know that you have a relationship with Jesus. I get it. But we all need a reminder every now and then. We all need the challenge to actually do what we're saying we're doing and to live out the way that we're supposed to be living out. But you know what? I need those reminders as well. I need the challenge from others in my life to say, get going. Keep pushing through. Keep persevering, and we need that in each other's lives. So get alone with God, get away from distractions, and if there are things that are distractions in your life, like one of these, because you're sitting on your phone, put it aside, break out your Bible, and engage with God. Turn off the TV if you turn it on, if you have it on. Turn off the radio. Do the things that you need to do to have alone time with God. The other thing that's along with this is that this isn't a show. Okay, so we don't do this to show others how spiritual we are. So we might not talk to others about our spiritual walk with God. What we did in our devotions that day, or what we prayed about, or what we did. The reasoning behind that is that this is done in secret. As Jesus was talking about, it's done in secret because he's the only one who sees. The most important part of your life is done in what no one else sees. I think I have that up on the screen. The most important part of your life is what no one else sees. The most important part of my life is every morning that I'm spending time with Jesus. Does that mean my family doesn't see it? No, they do. Is it for them? Absolutely not. It's for me. And it's for that relationship that I have with God. In fact, there's a part of me that knows, that holds me accountable, that when I sit down in my specific spot on the couch, that I know that across the room, Andrea will be there at some point in time, whether before me because she gets up earlier than me, or after me, depending on the day, and that my kids may see me doing devotions. But it's not for them. It's for that time with Jesus, because it's the most important part of my life. It took me a long time to figure that out. It took me a really long time to figure out that that is the most important part of my life. So what do you do when you've done all this? You've recognize that you're supposed to take some time with Jesus, take some time with him. You're getting away from the distractions. You're getting away from things that are going to be boggling your mind. You shut the door and you pray. Now, you might not be able to actually shut the door. Maybe you will. Depends on where you're at. But the idea here is that you pray. And just a few verses later, if you got your Bibles open, you'll notice that the Lord's Prayer is what comes next. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. And it just continues on, and I think I just messed it up. Anyways, the idea is that Jesus was teaching the disciples how to pray. And we can use this acrostic that is using the letters pray, P-R-A-Y, and the first is praise. So the first thing that we should do in our, if we're looking for a way to pray, start with P and begin with praise, focusing in on God for who he is and what he's done. Our Father who art in heaven, start there. Praising God, loving on him, recognizing his mercy, his grace, his justice, and thanking God. Thanking God for what he's done in your life today, that you have breath in your lungs, that you have a heart that is beating, that you have a home that is providing you with safety and comfort, that you have an amazing, loving God, and that his goodness is flowing to you and through you in your life. And this is where we don't take a rush through, but we take our time and we engage with God. We just praise him. We praise him for who he is. And if necessary, in this moment, maybe get down on your knees and just recognize, or metaphorically or mentally get on your knees, so that you are just worshiping and praising him. The R is repent. Pause and confess your need for God's grace. This is where in the Lord's Prayer it says, forgive us our sins, our debts. We're all kind of in different forms of relationship, aren't we? You have friendships, you have maybe marriage relationships, you have parent and child relationships. We all have some type of relationship that we are in. What happens in relationship when there is something wrong in the relationship? Meaning there has been some type of wrong done in it. In a marriage relationship, when I have said something really rude or when I have done something that harms my relationship with my wife, there is like a barrier that gets built up. Happens in all relationships. And it makes it kind of uncomfortable, doesn't it? It makes it kind of difficult. It makes it kind of weird if we want to. There's a certain amount of distance that is in there. Even in parent-child relationships, there are those types of distances that happen. And so that can continue until we actually take the opportunity to say, you know what? I'm sorry, I messed up. Will you forgive me for what I've done? And what happens is that barrier begins to fall down and that barrier begins to dissolve away because we actually took time to say, I messed up and I am asking for your forgiveness. Forgiveness breaks down that barrier. And so when we do this, when we repent, we actually take the time to say, you know what, God, I've messed up. Will you forgive me? And asking God, what areas of my life have I been not pleasing you? Will you speak to my life? Will you help me to know that what I've done that breaks down the relationship that we have, even from the last time that we had this prayer time, what have I done? Speak, show me. And we repent. And repentance leads to restoration. Restoration. Second or the third letter is A, ask. This is where we get to recognize that Jesus says, give us today our daily bread. This is one of our favorite parts in prayer, isn't it? Where we get to ask God for things. We get to spend time asking him for what he wants to do and all of that. Well, let me just encourage you with two thoughts when it comes to asking. Ask God for those unplanned things and those planned things. Unplanned means those things that just kind of pop into your mind when you're praying, because God might be speaking to you about certain things that you could be praying for. It's like that person's face that pops into your mind that you haven't thought about for a while and that you can just pray for right then and there, not knowing exactly what it is and why they're in your mind, but praying for them. Those are the unplanned things, the things that you didn't necessarily count on praying for that you could spend some time praying for. And then the other one is to pray for planned things, maybe throughout your week. One day you pray for your immediate family. Maybe the next day you pray for your extended family. Maybe the third day you pray for friends. Maybe the day after that you pray for the community. I don't know what it is for you, but maybe you can create a list of things that you want to be praying for and spread them out throughout the week. Could you do it all in one sitting? Absolutely. Would we be calling you a prayer warrior? Absolutely, but we'd be calling you a prayer warrior anyways, right? So maybe come up with those things that you can be praying for. And here's the thing. In Exodus chapter 8, there's a verse that says, and the Lord did according to the word of Moses. God hears our prayers. God moves. God acts, God works based on our prayers when we pray according to his will. Spend some time in prayer about those things. Next one is why? Yield. Pray for God to lead, to guide, and to direct your life. And this is Matthew 6:13 that talks about in the Lord's Prayer, lead us not in temptation. This is where we yield our lives to him. This is where we pray about the things that are going on throughout our day. God, will you guide me in this meeting? Will you guide me as I teach? Guide me as I work? Lead me so that I am not distracted by the world today, but help me to be able to listen to your voice in every aspect of today. And maybe this is a recurring prayer throughout the day, where you're seeking God and saying, God, I need your guidance. I need your direction. I need your wisdom so that I can avoid temptation today. This is where we yield our lives to him. Something that also helps me a ton, and this is actually not in scripture. This is just me giving you some insight into my world and how what helps me is this is journaling. I don't know how long I've been doing this, but it's been a practice for a number of years where I get a notebook. I like a fancy notebook. I'm kind of weird that way, but I like one that folds and opens and it has a little strings and stuff like that. I don't know why. It's kind of like the little strings that are on the Bible here. Anyways, I digress. But I like notebooks like that. And I write my prayers out consistently so that I can actually look back on them and see how God has worked, how God is active, how God has been hearing, and how God has worked. But then I can also say, you know what, God, I was selfish in this area. Forgive me. And I can reflect on scripture. I can rework words of scripture because I'm just journaling. I'm not doing anything specific sometimes. I can look at a passage of scripture and say, you know what, God, what is this saying? And I can just write about what I think it's beginning to say. And then I can pray according to those scriptures. God's word is powerful in this way, and it speaks so well. So maybe take some time. Maybe take up some journaling. You don't have to get fancy. You don't have to get anything other than just some paper. Maybe you just, you're not a paper person and you want to type it out on your computer. Type it out on your computer. Journal 2024. Boom. Let it flow. Let God work in that time. Continuing on with our passage of scripture, it says, when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and it continues on with the phrase of close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Have you ever recognized that in the Old Testament that there are 39 times where Father is used? 39 times. And it's only used as a title for God 15 times. So the word Father is used 39 times in the Old Testament. And it's only used referring to God 15 of those 39 times. And none of them are in reference to praying to God. Turning over to the New Testament, in the four Gospels, there are 165 times where God is addressed as Father. And all but one of those instances is used for teaching and encouraging the disciples. So pray to your Father. Your Father in heaven who knows you, who loves you, and enjoy God as not an all-distant, powerful being, but as one who knows you, loves you as a father, not a distant being that is out there and unrelatable to. Come to God as a child, knowing that you are spending time with your Father, your God, your Lord. When you're taking time like this, you are interacting with an unseen God who sees you and knows you, and that you matter to him. And he listens to you and sees you, knows you better than yourself. And the passage of scripture ends with, and he will reward you. I've often wondered what that reward, what that means and what it amounts to. And what I am encouraged by is that every time we take the opportunity to meet with God, he's waiting there to meet with you. That's what I think is the reward. That when you take the time to meet with God, you are rewarded with his presence, with his goodness, with his interaction, with his love, even when we don't feel like it. Even when we don't feel as if we have the energy that particular day to interact with God, but when we do, we have this opportunity and this reward, this treasure of great value and great price, that we just get to spend time with him. Nothing more, nothing less, but that is our reward, that we get to love on God and he gets to love on us and we get to meet with him. Is there anything greater in the world than that? I hope that you're catching and picking up what I'm talking about today. That this is the most important thing that we can be doing as a church. And it's not always corporate. It's not always us together and praying together, but it's us individually seeking God for what God wants to do in our lives and how we can grow and develop and become more and more like him and what he wants to do in us and through us. And I hope that you're catching that this is a great gift that we have with God. And if you need help in these areas, I would love to help you. And in fact, I want to talk to you about some of the things that we're going to start doing and that we have in front of us that you can do and begin today to help you in this area. So before you leave today, I have one of these that is 21 days of prayer. Beginning today and finishing in 3 Sundays from now, if you would like to, you can take one of these and you can share them as a family, and you can begin to pray today for various things that are listed here, 21 of them for 21 days. I'm just giving you a tool to help you in your prayer time. Like today, we would pray that we would have soft hearts. May our hearts be pliable so that we would hear from God and the ground of our heart would be fertile for his word to take root. So we would pray in that sort of way. And then there's another one, another prompt for tomorrow, another prompt for the next day, for the next 21 days. It's that simple. If you want one of these, you can grab one. I'm going to make them available on the table right here in front before the service is over. And when we're done, you can come and grab one. Why am I doing this? I believe that we are a praying church. And I believe for the next 21 days that if we are consistent and we're focused in on what we're supposed to be doing in our relationship with God, that God will speak and God will guide us and we will grow because of what he wants to do in us. But if we don't begin with prayer, I don't think that anything else will be, I don't know if we'll hear, but I think we begin in prayer. I think that's where all of this begins. And so this is going to be an opportunity for you. There'll be other things that will pop up throughout the rest of the next 21 days. Maybe it'll be a prayer time on Zoom that anybody can join in and we pray. Those are yet to be determined and yet to be seen, but I'm going to be giving them opportunities for you. Another thing that is available, that if you have the Bible app, there is a 21-day prayer Bible app devotional that you could begin and do that on your own. In fact, if you would like to join me in one, let me know today, and I'll start it tomorrow so that we can do that on the Bible app in prayer. The idea is that we would be praying. The idea is that it's not weird for us to pray. It's actually expected. So let's do it. Let's pray. Let's spend time specifically with God. And maybe God would call you to do some fasting this week, this next 21 days. And I got four thoughts on fasting. First thing is that fasting is focusing in on God. This is where you specifically focus in on God and you abstain from food. That's a tough one. But you abstain from food and you substitute the time of eating with feasting on God's word or prayer. So S is substitute, and then T is to taste and see that God is good. Fasting can be done in numerous different ways. It can be done in various complete fasts where you're taking many days and abstaining from everything except for water or juice. Or it can be simple fasts where you're staying away from lunch one day a week to spend that time in prayer. Or maybe it's a social media fast or an electronic fast or something like that. But it's an opportunity to specifically spend some time with God and allow distractions to get out of your mind. I'm going to close with this. And this is a word of caution. I used to guilt myself into spiritual disciplines. I used to say that if I didn't read my Bible every day, I was a horrible Christian and I would never amount to anything. I used to guilt myself in saying if I didn't spend time in prayer and things like that, then I just wasn't worthy and all of that. And I really hindered my relationship with God in this way because I guilted myself into these things. It took many years for me to figure this out, but the reality was is that my spiritual life is for no one else but me. Your spiritual life is for no one else but you. It's an example to those around you, but it's never for anyone else. And I mistakenly thought the latter. Once I got rid of trying to appear spiritually put together, my world with Jesus opened up. There's a lot of other steps that I took that are in there. There's a lot of other conversations that I took in order to help me grow in this way. But once I realize that I'm guilting myself into a relationship and I confess that and I gave that over to God, He really worked on my heart. So I say all that with this in mind. My heart is not to guilt you into a relationship with Jesus. Not at all. My heart is not to guilt you into prayer. Not at all. It's to teach you, to give you an opportunity to walk with you along the way and as I can, help and guide along the way as well. If this isn't for you at this stage of your life, that's fine. But I believe that it's a step in the right direction for each of us. So that's why I'm doing it. And it's a joy for me to help out in this way. So don't guilt yourself into that. But if you really want to do it, take these next 21 days and really seek God. Spend time in prayer. And if I can help along the way, let me know. Let's take some time in prayer. Father, we come before you today knowing, Lord, knowing that each of us come to you in different ways. We come to you with hearts that are open, with hearts that might be closed. Those hearts that are open, God, will you continue to train and guide and develop? Those hearts that are closed, God, will you begin to crack open, to break down barriers? Will you also just help us individually how we best relate to you? Will you help us in this area of prayer, God, to be able to know that you want to meet with us, want to speak with us, want to guide us? God, will you work in us in ways that we can only imagine? And over these next 21 days, God, will you open our hearts and our minds to your grace and your glory? Will you also just show us your truth? And will you also guide us? God, help us as we take steps in our relationship with you. God, it's as simple as just beginning to know that you want to meet with us and that our hearts can be changed and want to meet with you. So God, will you use these 21 days for your glory, for your purposes, and for your kingdom? God, we love you. We give you praise, and we thank you for all that you do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Won't you please stand? Thank you so very much for being at worship with us today. It's a joy to be with you. Let's sing together.